The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now it's time for our Thursday interview, and I'm delighted to be joined by the artist Paul Hughes. Paul, you're very welcome to the News Talk studio.
Lovely to be here. Very humbled. Honoured.
Well, we're quite humbled that you would speak to us, given the fact that you've become a right high flyer in the last year or so. You've had huge success in America in recent years, and you're heading to Monaco next week.
I am. For my sins, I'm heading over to a show opening in Monaco next week in the Meridian Beach Plaza. It all sounds very glamorous. Which is actually officially opening next Thursday. It's been up for a few weeks. It's the first time I'm showing in Monaco, actually. I've been working with Tanya Baxter, contemporary out of London and Hong Kong, and she's expanding into new places. So I've been working with her for 20 years, so she's bringing me to Monaco. And so people there have been asking about my work, so she felt it was right. And then in New York, I launched I've been showing sort of on and off globally for sort of, globally sounds great, about 20 years. But I sort of went to, I first showed in America about 3 years ago, and it's just really sort of exploded since then for various reasons. And I'm working away in my studio, so I'm not too sure how or why it happens, but sometimes it just happens.
Why do you think it has connected so well with an American audience? Is it the Irish thing, or is that just a bit too obvious?
It's not the Irish thing, because they whilst there's always strong connections and people always think that, I think my work is, I paint very large scale, I paint very expressively, very physically. It sort of borders between abstraction and realism, but the way that I paint and the emotion and the energy, I just seems to really connect with them. I think American viewers of art, they're very passionate about it. They're very interested in it, and they love to find the story behind it. The Irish part is interesting, but it's more the wildness of the Irish light that I paint that they're fascinated by. I suppose we're on this side of the Atlantic and the Americans are on the other side, and they're interested in the light. They're interested in the story.
And I could see that actually when I was looking at your arts, researching for this particular interview. I could see that Irish wildness and that Irish light. I know you're based here in Dublin, out in Blackrock, and you're obviously able to have Dublin Bay on your doorstep. Mm. But then when I was doing further research, I saw that you have a place in Kerry, and I thought, that's West Ireland wildness that I see in your drawings. It's a really inspirational place.
It is. I mean, Dublin has always inspired me, that sort of column of light between Howth and Dunleary Pier, where I cut all the sort of landmarks out. That's amazing. But when I sort of working in Kerry about 5 or 6 years ago, down in Kenmare, a place in Temple Now, behind Spillane's pub in Temple Now, I stare from the Iveragh Peninsula across to the Beara, and just the light. I'm obsessed by dark light, dark Irish light. And there's just so much in it, and there's so much movement, and it's ever changing. And down there, it is so wet and wild.
And rich.
It is beautiful. And there's just this constant movement between land, sea and sky, which is just, it's just so exciting. And I'm not trying to paint the thing of what I see. I'm trying to paint how it makes me feel and the visceral sense of what it leaves me with.
And for you, painting is a really physical process, isn't it?
It is hugely physical. I love that challenge. I played a lot of football in my day, and I love, there's no greater feeling than walking up off a football pitch, for example, after a match and just being knackered and just feel like you've given it all. My approach to art and the way I approach art has always been that. You know, I don't work my art with logic. It's about the physical expression. And I just get huge joy from that. And that just helps me to develop my work.
So you're not standing in front of a canvas with a brush just making small brush strokes, no?
No. I don't use easels because I just break them. I tend to put the canvases, lay them out on the ground and move around it nearly in a dance-like trance. Then sometimes I transfer them to the wall and I just paint. And quite often my brush strokes go way beyond the canvases and so onto the wall itself. Because I don't want to be limited by that space. So, but yeah, it's hugely physical. And I just love getting all these different colours and working them together and just letting them work their own magic. You know, I just think it's great fun.
Let's go back a little bit, because your parents actually came here from Manchester, utterly bucking the trend at the time, where people were leaving Ireland in their droves to go to England to seek out work and opportunity. Why did they choose Ireland? What drove them here?
What drove them here? There wasn't anything really in our family heritage per se. I'm sure there is somewhere, but they really wanted to. They wanted a new life for our children, for the children they were going to have. And you know, Manchester is a very industrial city, a lovely city, but very industrial. And they wanted, my dad was in the textile fabric business, did a lot of business over here with the woolen mills. But he just wanted to come and live in a sort of a countryside environment. And as I said, there was 1,000 people on the mailboat going the other way, and they were the only two going this way. Everyone thought they were mad emigrating to Ireland in the early 60s, but they loved it, and they just drew straws on where to stay outside Dublin, and so it was really about the children and about a future, you know.
And they picked the straw that led them to Blackrock.
They did. It was a little village called Finglas, a little village called Tallaght, a little village called Blackrock. We're all in the countryside then, and they literally drew straws and ended up in Blackrock.
And your mum was Catholic and your dad was Protestant. Was being in an interfaith marriage in the UK at that time difficult in any way?
From what I know of, I think it was interesting. Mum used to always say she had to put her religion on job applications, which is really weird. And being a Catholic, I think, in Manchester, I think even though there's a lot of Catholics, I think it was not that easy. It was, so I think my dad, what's came from a Protestant background, it wasn't really a practicing Protestant and basically transferred to Catholicism when he moved over here. But it was really just, yeah, it wasn't being religious. They were conscious of it, and I think they thought being in Ireland would be easier. Although when she came here, she always got known as the English Catholic, not an Irish Catholic. I don't think any difference, but so she was the English Catholic.
Okay, and she was completely devout, so she was perhaps more devout than many of us.
Yeah.
You mentioned to football and, you know, that feeling of coming off a pitch, as you say, covered in muck and sweat and having given it your all. And you had a real passion for that as a child, as a young person, to the point that you actually got a sports scholarship to UCD.
Yeah, I did. I was very lucky enough to get a scholarship to UCD. And I played League of Ireland for about 7 years with some great people. I was, I'm sure, yes, I gave it everything. And it was funny, as I got older, I got slower. I used to play in midfield, and as I got slower, I moved back towards the back. I played centre half, but I played down in Ringsend, and then I went to UCD, and I loved it there for about 6-7 years. And then injury, just a few bad injuries, and by the time I was 26, 27, I went from being slow to not being able to run at all, nearly. So
you had to find something else. So where did the creativity come from? Was that always there in the background?
I think it is there. You see, I don't approach anything I do in life, I approach the exact same way. I don't see them as being very different. Football sport is a very creative thing. It's all about finding the space, seeing the space, playing with your head up. When I worked in the advertising business, it was the same. Art's the same. I approach everything with the same sort of sense of possibility, and anything can happen. I mean, football pitches are amazing because there's a gazillion places you can place the ball at any one moment in time, and so they're all creative in their own sort of way, you know. So
and you did work for one of the biggest advertising bodies in the world, Saatchi and Saatchi.
I did.
So you're taking this element of your career pretty seriously.
I started my career there, fell into it by accident, and then I worked in Saatchi's in Ireland and abroad in the Middle East, and then I set up an agency with a couple of great guys in 95 called Rothko, I worked in that for about 25, 30 years. But I was able to keep both my art life and my advertising life very separate.
So when then did the art life really begin to dominate your life?
I've been exhibiting for a long time. I've been working for a long time. It was any spare time I had outside of the agency world, I painted. I didn't sleep a huge amount. It's always been there as a passion. You're just doing it. I suppose in the last sort of 20 years when I got when I started showing, it just sort of gathered its own momentum. And I suppose you then get sucked in as part of the momentum, and it just keeps growing from there. And since I've really been, the last 10 years, it's just become obsessive, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, it's.
And is that your personality, do you think?
Yes, it is to a flaw as well, I would suspect. I'm relentless and I'm obsessive, and I'm known for never finishing. I don't mean that, not in a slow way, but just I can't let things go. Nothing is ever good enough, which is great for pushing you on, but it can also be very destructive.
So do you find it a really enjoyable process or at times an exhausting process?
It is both. I love it. I love every second of it. I love every second of it because it's a challenge, and I don't know where paint is going to go. I don't know what I'm going to discover in every session. I don't know what I'm going to produce or where I can push it and develop. And part of that is needing to feel exhausted and feel worn out. I always say it's like I've got to give it everything. If I don't give it everything, I will sense it in the painting. It just doesn't have enough in it.
So you're quite hard on yourself then. If you tell yourself, if I don't sweat blood and tears here, it's not enough. Yeah, you must have a really understanding family behind you.
I do.
Paul,
I have some wonderful people who take care of me and whatever. But they know it's just the way I am. As opposed to try and fight it, I just go with it. It's my nature. I'm known for, unfortunately, work that is practically finished and then going destroying it and starting again because it's just not good enough, because I could never abide the thought of a piece of work being out there that wasn't as good as I needed it to be. It's either as good as it can be or not nearly good enough is just not good enough.
And how long will you keep doing this, do you think, Paul?
Painting.
Yeah. Do you think this will be it?
Absolutely.
Until
I love it.
I mean,
if no one ever showed my work again, never exhibit again, I'd be painting every day. It's what I do. It's what I do. I will keep painting and painting because I haven't painted my best painting yet. And every painting for me, the next one has to be the better one. It has to be go. I will keep painting until it's no more, unfortunately, but I'll go the whole hog. It'd be lovely, yeah.
Oh, how lovely. Paul Hughes, thanks so much for coming in to us and speaking to us on The Hard Shoulder. I know doing interviews is not your favourite.
You've been very kind.
But I really appreciate you coming in, and keep up the fabulous good work and enjoy Monaco. Okay.
Thank you very much, and thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.